All right, get ready, because today we are taking a deep dive into two really huge ideas in Christian theology, the image of God and the kingdom of God.
Big stuff.
Yeah, we're going to be using Dr. David L. Mathewson's lecture on New Testament theology to guide our deep dive.
Sounds good.
This isn't just your typical Sunday school stuff, though. We're going to go way beyond the basics and see what kind of cool connections and insights we can dig up.
I think people are going to be surprised how relevant these old concepts are even today, even if they've thought about this stuff before.
Okay, so let's jump in with the image of God. We all remember that line from Genesis 1.26, "Let us make humankind in our image." But what does that actually even mean? Like, are we supposed to look like God?
Well, that's where things get interesting. Dr. Mathewson says that Genesis isn't really talking about what humans look like, but what we're supposed to do in creation.
Right.
We were created to reflect God's glory by ruling over creation. Basically, like, we're his representatives.
So it's more about what we do than what we look like. Like, are we supposed to be, like, mini gods running creation the way God would?
Yeah, you could say that.
But then, you know, Genesis 3 happens and humans totally mess things up.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
That's when sin shows up and we fail to be those image bearers we were created to be.
And that leads to what?
Well, that's what leads to exile from God's presence, a broken relationship with our Creator, and basically a world full of chaos.
So is that it then? Is the image of God completely gone? Are we stuck with just, like, a broken reflection?
No, and that's where the New Testament gets really exciting. It gives us this whole idea of Jesus as the second Adam.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, Romans 5 talks about how sin and death came into the world through Adam, but grace and life came in through Jesus Christ.
So Jesus is like the ultimate do-over.
Yeah.
Setting things right and fixing what Adam messed up.
Yeah, exactly. But how does that actually work in terms of the image of God?
That's a great question.
Well, Colossians 1.1 says that Christ is the image of the invisible God. So Dr. Mathewson argues that Jesus perfectly reflects God's image. And when we're connected to him through faith, we're also invited into that same image. We're being renewed and transformed.
Wait, so it's not just that Jesus fixes what Adam did. It's that we're part of that restoration.
Right.
And we are being reshaped into God's image.
You got it.
That's wild.
2 Corinthians 3.18 describes it really well. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Okay, so it's not just like a one-time thing, but it's something that's always happening, and it's the Holy Spirit who is doing it. What does that even look like, though, to, like, become more like God?
It's not about trying to literally turn into God. It's not about appearance. It's more about reflecting God's character, like his love, his justice, and his mercy.
Okay, so it's not so much about looking like God, but acting like him, embodying what he values in how we live our lives. I like it. So then the big question is, what's the point of all of this? Where does this transformation lead?
Well, picture this. Revelation 22.5. God's people reigning with him on a new creation.
Amazing.
And they're reflecting his image by governing like he intended from the beginning. It's like that original mandate from Genesis is finally fulfilled.
It is a really powerful image. Mm. It's like the whole story of the Bible is about this this journey of the image of God. From creation to restoration, moving from being broken to being whole, and going from separation to being united with God, all because of what Jesus did.
Exactly. And that journey, you know, from a broken image to a restored image leads us right into our next big topic, the kingdom of God.
Okay.
What's really cool here is that the kingdom isn't just some far off place in the clouds.
Right.
It's about God's reign over all creation, starting right here and now.
Okay. So it's not just heaven. But if that's true, then where do we even see this kingdom showing up in our world? Because honestly, things don't seem very perfect right now, do they?
You're right. The world often feels far from perfect, but that's where the idea of already but not yet comes in. Think about the Exodus story, you know?
Yeah.
God rescues Israel from slavery and shows how powerful and sovereign he is.
Right.
It's like a little taste of what his kingdom is all about. Liberation, restoration, and justice.
I see. So even in the Old Testament, we're seeing hints of the kingdom breaking through.
Yeah.
It's not just some future thing, but something that God's been working on all along.
That's it. And then in Exodus 19.6, God calls Israel a kingdom of priests, you know, yeah, a nation set apart to represent his presence and rule to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. Dr. Mathewson says this kind of goes back to the original idea of humans as image bearers, like we talked about in Genesis.
Yeah.
We're meant to be like God to the world, to be the ones bringing his blessing and restoration.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But Israel, I mean, they didn't always do a great job with that, did they?
Well, you're right.
They messed up and rebelled just like everyone else.
Yeah, their history is full of both good and bad. But God always kept his promises, especially the Davidic covenant from 2 Samuel 7.
Right.
He promised David an eternal dynasty, a line of kings that would bless the whole world.
Ah, yes, the Davidic covenant. And if I remember right, the Psalms are just filled with celebrating Yahweh as king, but they also look forward to a future time when his reign will be even more complete through one of David's descendants.
Exactly. And that idea just gets stronger when we get to the prophets.
Yeah.
Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, they all talk about a future Davidic king who will bring peace, justice, and righteousness. It's like they're seeing glimpses of the kingdom fully realized.
So it's like this constant buildup to when the kingdom finally comes and makes everything right.
Yeah.
And then we get to the Gospels, and bam, there's Jesus saying the kingdom of God is at hand.
Right.
Things are about to get serious.
Jesus coming changes everything. Dr. Mathewson points out that in the Gospels, nobody asks Jesus to define the kingdom of Judah.
Interesting.
It's like they all already knew what it meant based on the Old Testament, but Jesus takes it to a whole new level.
So how does he do that? How does Jesus actually show us what the kingdom is all about in a way that's even bigger than what people were expecting?
Well, think about all the miracles Jesus did.
Yeah.
Healing the sick, casting out demons, calming storms, even raising the dead.
Right.
He's showing us that God's power is breaking into the world, reversing the effects of sin and decay. And then there are his teachings. Jesus tells us to love radically, to forgive, to be humble, to serve. Hmm. These are things that turn the world upside down, changing how we think about power and what it means to truly live.
It's like he's not just talking about the kingdom. He's living it out.
Yeah.
He's proof that God's reign isn't some future fantasy, but something that's changing lives right now.
Exactly. Dr. Mathewson connects this to what theologian Tom Schreiner calls the blessings of the kingdom.
Yep.
These blessings are things like forgiveness of sins, healing, freedom from oppression, and ultimately the promise of eternal life. Jesus gives us a taste of the kingdom's fullness, drawing us into this new way of living.
Okay, but if the kingdom is already here through Jesus, why isn't everything perfect? Why do we still have so much pain, suffering, and injustice in the world? This whole already but not yet thing is kind of confusing.
That's the tension we live in.
Yeah.
It's like we're standing at the door of a new world, but it hasn't fully opened yet. We see flashes of the kingdom's glory, but we still feel the effects of sin and brokenness.
So we're in this in-between time, this waiting period.
Right.
But we're not just sitting around, are we? What's it supposed to look like to live in this already but not yet?
That's the question, isn't it? And this is where being renewed in God's image really matters. It's not just about changing ourselves. It's about being part of God's work to restore the world,
yeah,
bringing the kingdom's values into everything we do.
So we're like ambassadors.
Yeah.
Representatives of the kingdom, showing its principles and how we relate to others in our communities, even in our jobs, bringing a little bit of heaven to earth.
Exactly. And that's where things get real, you know, challenging.
Yeah.
If the kingdom is about justice, mercy, and humility, how are we showing those things in our daily lives? Are we standing up for those who are treated unfairly? Are we caring for the poor and marginalized? Are we working to heal broken relationships and make peace?
Wow, those are tough questions. It's easy to get lost in the big ideas, but you're right. It all comes down to how we live, how we show the kingdom in real ways.
It does. Dr. Mathewson reminds us that living in the already but not yet isn't about running away from the world or just waiting for heaven. It's about getting involved, about trying to bring God's healing and restoration to every part of creation.
So we have this incredible opportunity to work with God in making all things new.
Yes.
We're on his team, agents of the kingdom. But how do we even start to do that?
Yeah.
Seems like a huge job.
It is a huge job, but we're not alone. Remember, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit transforming us into the image of Christ. Well, that same Spirit gives us the power to live as citizens of the kingdom.
Okay, so it's not about our own strength or willpower. Mm-hmm. We're drawing on the Holy Spirit who is working in us and through us.
Yeah.
That's encouraging, actually.
It is. And working with the Spirit means being humble, letting go of our own plans, and surrendering to God. It means always seeking his guidance, asking him to show us how to be part of his work in our own unique ways.
You know, this is making me think about how we often separate our faith from the rest of our lives. Mm. Like, it's just for Sundays or our quiet time. But really, the kingdom of God is meant to be part of everything.
Absolutely. It's not about adding God to our lives. It's about realizing he's already at work, inviting us to join him in his story of redemption. And that story is still being written. We're living in the messy, beautiful middle where the already and the not yet are both true.
The messy, beautiful middle. That's a great way to describe it. It captures the tension and the excitement of living in this time between times.
Right.
We're experiencing the first signs of the kingdom, but we're also longing for when it comes fully.
Huh.
But I gotta ask, what happens when the not yet becomes now? What can we expect when the kingdom finally arrives?
Yeah, it's like the biggest mystery, isn't it? The Bible gives us little glimpses, these amazing visions of what that future will be like. Dr. Matthewson talks about those last chapters in Revelation, where we see a new heaven and a new earth, a world where God lives with his people and everything is made new.
I'm getting chills just thinking about it. No more pain, no more suffering, just perfect peace and joy with God. It's almost impossible to imagine.
It really is. But those pictures in Revelation aren't supposed to be like blueprints or anything. They're more about stirring our hearts.
Yeah.
You know, giving us hope and reminding us that what's truly waiting for us is way beyond what we can experience in this world.
So how do we hold on to that hope while we're still living in this in-between time? How do we not get discouraged when we see so much bad stuff happening around us?
I think it goes back to what we were talking about before, about being remade in God's image. It's not just about being good on our own. It's about working with God to fix the world, you know, bringing the kingdom's values into everything we do. Our actions, even the little things, become like acts of rebellion against the darkness, little whispers of hope pointing towards that new day that's coming.
That's really powerful. So it's not about running away from the world or just waiting for heaven. It's about bringing heaven here, one act of love, one step of faith, one moment of grace at a time. But we can't do it on our own, can we? We need each other.
Absolutely. We're meant to be a community, a group of believers working together to be the kingdom, to help each other, to encourage each other, and to challenge each other to grow. Remember that image from Exodus 19.6, a kingdom of priests. We're designed to work together, reflecting God's glory as one.
That makes me think about all the different ways people are trying to bring God's kingdom here today. We see it in acts of compassion, justice, and how people express beauty and truth, and in movements that fight for human dignity and taking care of creation. It's like this beautiful tapestry woven together with threads of love and sacrifice.
Exactly. And that tapestry goes way beyond just us. We're connected to this global movement, this huge and diverse family of believers all around the world, each reflecting God's image in their own special way.
It's amazing to think that even the smallest acts of kindness and service can be part of God's big plan to redeem the world. It's like every time we choose love over hate, every time we forgive someone or help them out, we're adding another brushstroke to this incredible work of art that is redemption.
It really is humbling when you realize that we have this amazing privilege of working with God to make everything new. And that gives me hope, even with all the darkness and brokenness we see in the world. The kingdom is coming, and we get to be part of making it happen.
This has been an incredible deep dive. We've journeyed from the very beginning of creation all the way to the end of God's plan to save the world. And honestly, I'm feeling both challenged and inspired.
I'm so happy to hear that. And remember, this is just the start. There's so much more to explore, to discover, to learn about God's amazing love and the wonder of his kingdom. Keep digging into the Bible, keep asking the hard questions, and keep following God's lead.
And to all our fellow deep divers out there, keep searching, keep questioning, and keep your hearts open to the mysteries of faith. We'll see you next time for another exciting journey through God's Word.